Online marketing and communications. Marketing know-how for your business.
You're listening to episode 148 of Online Marketing and Communications. And my name's John Buskell, and I'm speaking to you from the Doghouse Studio here in Stockholm, Sweden. Thank you very much for coming along to listen to the show. I always appreciate it if you're a regular listener. If you're a new listener, well, thanks for checking us out. I hope you enjoy it. On today's show, I'm primarily going to be talking about how social media isn't just an important tool for communicating, for building an audience, but it can be really, really important for business development. But before we get into that, I've got a couple of things that I thought I should go over. And before I actually say anything else, I should say that I'm looking into the hearts and the minds of one or two people, nine people right now, on Angle. Yes, the Angle app. There's been quite a lot of discussion about live streaming at the moment. Live streaming seems to be super popular. Meerkat, Periscope seem to be dominating the market. But I thought I'd try out Angle because, you know, it's good to try different things. And that's spelled A-N-G-L, and it's on the iPhone platform, it's on iOS, and it's also on Android. But if you want links to everything that I mentioned in this show, and there are going to be some techie stuff, a little bit of techie stuff, you'll find everything over at moondogmarketing.com/148. So you get all the links there. So like I said, I'm streaming this live now on Angle, and when you listen to this show, it will have gone from the internet. Angle videos only stay up for a fleeting amount of time, but we'll see. Okay, so first of all, thank you very much to my regular listeners, Patricia Maguire and Sanjeeva Persad, who gave me some feedback. They responded to last week's episode where I talked to Tom, who was a book publisher. Whilst editing that show, I started to disagree with what he was saying. I disagreed with it when I was in the process of interviewing him. And it can be really difficult when you're interviewing someone and you start to think, I really don't like what you're saying. And of course, you want to be polite and encourage your listener and to get them keep going. But of course, you want to bring your own points across. And when I edited the show, I really found myself disagreeing strongly. So I recorded some bits where I jumped into the show. And so Patricia got back to me and she said, John, did you have your grumpy socks on? And I've never heard that phrase before, my grumpy socks, but I've used it, Patricia, two or three times this week. No, I didn't have my grumpy socks on, but I was irritated with some of the discussion that was going on there. And I wanted to make my point across. I hope it wasn't too aggressive or irritated. I know I can show that sometimes. And Sanjeeva, he said that he laughed out loud whilst traveling on the train, I think it was. Well, I'm glad I made you laugh. So let's get on with a couple of the main things. Now, one of our clients, Amundon Marketing, this year in 2015 has been Josh Turner, a great guy who works out of Israel. He's a specialist in PR. We did a website for him that you'll find over at jtpublicrelations.com. And he got in touch with us to say that in his Google Analytics, he is seeing a lot of porn links, particularly from porn.hub. So I said to Josh that this is referrer spam, and I went in and put in a plugin into WordPress called WordFence, and that enables you to block referrer spam. Now, referrer spam, which is also known as log spam or referrer bombing, is a kind of spam indexing. It's a technique that involves making repeated website requests using fake referrer URLs to the site the spammer wants to advertise. And sites that publish their access logs, including referrer statistics, they'll inadvertently link back to that spammer's site. So when you go into your Google Analytics, you'll see lots of links to things like Pornhub or DuckDuck, or there are so many. Now, the thing with WordFence is that you can go in, you can go to your advanced blocking, and I'll put an example of that in the show notes. And where it says referrer, you put the URL you want to block, for example, badpornsite.com, and that will take it out of your analytics. So I've done that for Josh. I've actually done that on the Moondog site as well. The great thing about WordFence is that it really works to keep referrer spam to a minimum. So I recommend that one to you. The next recommendation that I've got for you this week is Quill Engage, and that's over at quillengage.narrativescience.com. Now, Quill Engage is a great way of getting an easy overview of your web analytics. Always talking analytics here as a key element for understanding how your marketing is doing. It's really, really important, but it can be very difficult to read. It can be very, very difficult to read. And Quill Engage is really for lay people to get an insight, a quick, we could call it a quick and dirty insight into how things are doing on your site. It's emailed to you weekly, shows you the most popular pages, shows you the most popular links. It gives you an idea if the audience is bigger or lower, percentage increase, the number of people that are visiting your site. It's very, very nice. And we use this with some of our clients. Some of our clients, they don't want massive, complicated analytics. They just want a simple overview to know how things are going. And so the Quill Engage report is great to send along. And so finally, moving along here to what I think is the main thesis argument of this podcast, the main thing that I really want to come across. And that's about social media and how social media isn't just for liking and engaging with your community from a business perspective. It's also about, it can also be a great tool for business development. So let's dig into this a bit more. Imagine that you are a bank. You've built your business on lending people money, whether it's for, you know, houses, for businesses, you name it, you know what banks are used for. But the banking industry is increasingly being disrupted by new players coming to the market and trying to do things online. Here in Sweden, it was the whole SMS loan. You could send a text message to a loan company, a bank loan company, and get a loan. This, you know, upsets a lot of people, but it's been very, very successful. And in fact, I know the director of the company. But that's by the by. But you can see that there is, you know, there have been major changes to the banking industry. Now, if you are big bank here in Sweden or in the States or wherever you are, how do you know what products, how do you know what services could benefit your business that could be part of your key value proposition, something that differentiates you from the other banks out on the market? Now, it doesn't matter if you're a small or medium-sized business, an enterprise-level business, the same strategy counts. It all comes down to listening. It all comes down to listening and to following what's going on in social. Yes, the marketing departments engage with people. They tweet, they get on streaming apps and they talk to people. They share, they like, they blog, they connect with people in social forms. But there are other aspects to a company where social is important. I think social is important in HR. The people that you're going to hire, you check out their social profiles on LinkedIn, you check out how they perform on Facebook, the things that they put out online, you Google them. HR is, you know, is social is important to HR. Social is important to the marketing team, like I say, to reach new people, to engage with them, to get your product out there. Social is really important to customer service. I don't know about you, but if I'm really irritated about a product, I often go on Twitter and talk about it. Sometimes companies will respond to you immediately and try and get the conversation offline, of course. That's, you know, something that we at Moondog definitely recommend. We had this just recently with a client. You want to get the discussion offline as quickly as possible. But there is also a role for social, and that's in the business development and product development side of things. Now, here's an example. The banking industry has been disrupted. There are new players to the market from different countries coming into local territories. There are different kinds of banking services now here in Sweden. A while ago, must be about 9 or 10 years ago, you could start getting a bank loan by sending a text message from your cell phone. I mean, amazing to be able to get a loan from sending an SMS. Truly amazing. I know the guy that started the company. Truly amazing. So you can see that banks are having to find new ways to be competitive. The high street has disappeared. There are malls, mainly in Sweden. We have lots of malls. We don't have small towns with lots of shops so much now. Everything is the big mall outside, very, very similar to the States or the hypermarché in France or whatever. But the banks have, you know, has changed. And if you're part of the senior level in banking, you want to find a new way of doing business. Well, I think social can help you there. Now, you don't expect your marketing team to go out and find new business for you. You expect them to sell the products or services that you've got and to maintain your relationship with your customers, with new customers. But you don't expect the marketing team to develop something new. That's for the business development people, the product development people. And sticking with my idea of the bank, let's say big bank want to roll out a new service. They want to increase the number of mortgages, house loans. They want to increase the number of mortgages that they sell each year. There's huge money in the housing industry, of course. I'm sure it's, you know, one of the ways that banks make the majority of their money. You know, we take on huge loans for our houses. And, well, you know, that's the nature of the game. But surely things plateau. You feel that the market's saturated. Yes, you can refresh your brand. Yes, you can spend money on advertising to get in front of people. You can interrupt people in their daily lives with adverts in newspapers, adverts online, adverts on TV, you name it. But ultimately, you're going to get to a point where the return on that investment, I think, is going to plateau. What I think is so important with social is that it can enable you to find a new segment, reach that segment, develop the product for that segment, and sell and succeed to that segment. So let's stick with Big Bank. Big Bank want to sell more mortgages. They go online and instead of tracking words like mortgages, one of the team has recently read that one in five homes in Sweden, I actually think it's one in three, but something like one in three homes or one in seven homes in Sweden are pet owners, that they either have a dog or a cat. Now, the marketing people, no doubt, they are just tracking mentions of the brand. If people are complaining about Big Bank, they're talking to them. They're trying to get the discussion offline, trying to solve their problems. They're really showing that Big Bank care. But that's not going to lead to bigger and better products or finding new segments of the audience. Marketing probably don't even talk to business development very much, except on that Christmas party out to Kastellet or whatever, which is very nice if you come to Stockholm in Vaxholm. Very, very nice. One of the best places for pickled herring at Christmas, particularly. So the people in business development, they go to their tools, whether it's Hootsuite or Buzzsumo or Sprout Social or even Oracle's Enterprise Cloud Solution. You know, I'm not promoting any of those. I'm just giving you examples all across the spectrum. All of them work. You go to your tool and you start following and listening to what people are saying about dogs. Now, let's really drill down into Sweden. Or we could start in the Stockholm region. Maybe we want to just see what people are doing locally, because something like dogs, there are lots of mentions. People like me put pictures of their dogs out every day or very, very regularly, share lots of things on Facebook. Now, depending on the complexity of your tool, you can start to get lots of data on these mentions. You can see it in the tool. You can export it to spreadsheets, no matter what. You can get an insight into what people are saying. Now, what if English Big Bank are posting pictures of, well, it's hot weather, and hey, here in Rotherham today, the weather was so hot, we gave this particular customer a special treat, photograph of a dog drinking water from a big bowl outside the bank. Now, what the bank is doing here is they're showing that they're a caring, sharing social bank. But what Big Bank Sweden start to see is that dogs are really popular. That people start, they're passionate about their animals. They are family members, you know, like my woofs here are my children, really. And that this could be a potential way of reaching a new segment. Now, maybe the bank hasn't been offering pet insurance. Banks do have insurance. They're often keen to upsell lots of products. My father worked in banking for many years, and one of the things that he found most difficult was the transition from the traditional bank of caring for your customer, taking care of all their finances, being an advice person, to the point where you had to sell. Oh, Mr. Jonsson, would you like an insurance for this? And, you know, we really could improve this service. So what the bank could see is that there is a potential new market here. It could be because so many people are talking about dogs and showing that they love their dogs, or that when their dogs are sick, they worry the hell out of how they're going to cope with the finances. It's very expensive in Sweden if your animals get sick, if you don't have insurance. That what the bank could see is that here is a new potential product. And if they weren't listening to what's going on in social, if they weren't looking at the segment, the particular group of people that were talking about this, they could be missing out on key strategic business decisions. Selling pet insurance to 1 in 7 homes in a country of 11, 12 million people is going to bring you in quite a bit of money. If people already have their savings, their mortgage with you, why not upsell insurance, pet insurance to them to bring in another segment? Now, listening, as well as helping you identify the product that you could develop, it can also be help you identify the really niched segment that you should be speaking to. Maybe it's women between the age of 25 and 45 that are talking most about pets. I have lots of friends on Facebook. And if you want to connect with me on Facebook, do just go to Facebook and find me. There's very few people with my name out there. And you'll see that lots of the people that I'm connected with have Bassets. And every day people talk about their Bassets and share their Basset concerns. And lots of them are women between the age of 25 and 55 that Bassets are super important to them. Now, if you're a bank looking to develop a new product, say pet insurance, that's targeting a particular group, women in this particular demographic, it's only by listening that you can do your market research, that you can do your product development, that you can then go to your marketing people and say, there is an integrated approach to our new business products, and this is what we will be doing. We've identified them through the development process. We've identified them through the development process, which is really, really fundamental and very, very powerful. Now, let's say that you are a tech company, that you work with mobile phones. Let's use a really big example here, another big example like banking. Apple, when they released their iWatch, whatever it's called, you can bet that they know what the next version of the watch is going to be like that's coming out in a year. Knowing Apple, they sort of tend to bring things out every year, don't they? The iPhone comes out, isn't it, in August. You know that when a company like Apple releases their product, they already know what the next version is going to be like. It's already sorted, because, you know, that's the nature of the business. With business development and social, even in very, you know, difficult industries like mobile, pharmaceuticals, you know, all that kind of stuff, what you can see is the conversations, if you start listening, it can give you an indicator of what you or where you could be going. So, for example, when Villa and I looked at the trials of Oracle's social cloud app, we could see that there was a really big discussion about 3G and 5G phone networks online. Doesn't matter whether it's positive or negative sentiment, but we saw lots of discussion about 3G and 5G. And this was just a couple of months ago. But 4G is the thing that everyone has or is getting at the moment. Yet, there was still lots of discussion globally about 3 and 5. Now, from a business development perspective, it could be that you might want to jump a version and not bother with the current technology, but take a risk and come with something further down the line, because you know that the audience out there are already beginning to talk about what's coming. Why play catch up when you can get business information through a social listening tool that will show you where the industry is going or where your product should be? And this can work, of course, for small businesses. And my temptation is always to use an example like dog walking. But let's say you're a mom blogger and you sell spirulina drinks, health drinks, because people are really into juicing, but not everyone can be bothered to actually juice the stuff. But let's say you're a mom blogger and you have an e-shop on the side and you have these great juices that you put together. You've got a distribution network, small distribution network in, you know, East Connecticut or wherever, and you want to get that message out. Well, by listening socially, you can start to hear what people are saying, and that will improve the way that you market to them. But it might be that there's a lot of discussion about, yuck, all these green juices. I know from people that have been juicing that they really have, you know, a real problem with these green juices, the juices that include things like, you know, cabbage and broccoli and all spinach and all that kind of stuff, although it's super healthy for you. It could be that, you know, there's lots of discussion about that, but one or two people are starting to also discuss turmeric. There's this thing about the golden paste. I'm not even sure if turmeric is the English word. I think so. It's that orangey spice that with turmeric you can make golden paste, and that's really, really good for you. It's really, really good for you. But it could be that you should be introducing that new product, that new range of products to the market, because you can see that there is a discussion that's going on out there, and maybe there aren't people who are first to market, or this is something that you could really specialize in, that you could ramp up your production and marketing with. What I'm trying to do here is to give you an idea that by listening to what's going on social networks, there is a way of finding new products to develop, of finding new things that you can do to reach new segments and to grow your business. So that's about it for this week. I hope that's been useful for you. Links to Quill Engage, to the WordFence plugin, and to Josh over at jtpublicrelations.com. I'll put links to all that in the show notes over at moondogmarketing.com/148. If you've got any comments or feedback, just send me a note on Twitter, and I'm John Buskell, JONBUSCALL, if you're not following me on Twitter already. Or if you'd like to connect with me on LinkedIn, just send me a message on LinkedIn. Let me know that you listen to the show, and I'll be sure to add you to the network. And do please get back to me with any questions. And if there's something you'd like me to take up on the podcast, I'd be delighted to do that. So from me and the Woofs in the Doghouse Studio in Stockholm, Sweden, thanks very much for listening.
Online marketing and communications. Marketing know-how for your business.
As always, recorded in the Doghouse Studio. For more, visit moondogmarketing.com.